give, don't you? You can text to give. You can push pay to give. Is it up on the screen? It's not up on the screen. You can do it. Was okay, wonderful. And in the link from home, there's a link that is in the feed. Click on that link and give the Lord your tithes and offerings. Amen. Well, tonight we're getting to shoot that shot, and Pastor Aaron is going to tear the top off this place. Give Pastor Aaron a hand, would you?
Awesome. Well, I'm thankful to be here tonight. I first do want to thank everyone that has reached out to me and my family regarding my dad. He is home. He is recovering. Pray that he does what he's supposed to do. Dad, do what you're supposed to do and rest for 2 weeks so that you can get back on your feet. But we are thanking God that my mom took him to the ER on Monday. Otherwise, this week could have turned out very differently. So praise God for that. So I just want to say, a couple weeks ago when I found out that I was speaking, is this hitting my hair? Okay, that's good. All right, when I found out I was speaking, I got in the car and I said, okay, God, I really need something from you right now. I need you to download something because I don't like this 2-3 days before I'm supposed to speak, right? And so I get in the car and this song was playing. Go ahead, guys. Play the song, please. Okay, you're like, wait, you heard God playing that song? I did. I heard God playing that song. It is a Christian song. Some of you may need to clean up your playlist a little bit. My son has 2 hours of that type of music. If you need a clean playlist, let me know. Shoot that shot. I literally played that clip like 3 times over and over in my car. And I was like, God, what are you saying? Like, besides the obvious, right? What are you saying? And I honestly felt in my spirit this. I felt him saying, it's time. It's time to dream again. It's time to go after what God has put in your heart. It's time to stop waiting. It's time to take the risk. It's time to have the faith. It's time to shoot that shot. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this moment. I thank you for who you are. And I just ask that you would open up our hearts, God. Help us to take the risk, to step out in faith. And we thank you for this moment tonight. Use your servant tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. On May 7th, 1989, Chicago Bulls superstar Michael Jordan delivered one of the most legendary moments of his career when he hit the shot to eliminate the Cleveland Cavaliers in Game 5 of the 1989 first-round NBA playoff series. Now, Jordan, throughout his career, had 9 buzzer-beater moments. That was more than twice as many as any other player had managed when he retired in 2002. And I just looked it up, and he's still in the top 5 of the most amount of buzzer-beater moments. I love a good buzzer-beater moment. That's the moment in the game, right, where the teams are tied, and we're counting down the seconds, and all of a sudden the buzzer goes off, and they shoot the shot, right? And then you hear the whoosh, the swish, and then the team goes crazy. And then I love, even in football, when you're sitting on the edge of your seat waiting for the game to end, and again, the teams are tied, and the quarterback just goes for that Hail Mary pass, right? You should hear my mom in these kind of football games. She's crazy. So they throw the ball, hoping that the receiver will catch it and go into the end zone, right? Those on the edge of your seat moments, those leap of faith. The phrase, shoot your shot, means to be brave, having the audacity to do something that might be embarrassing. Shooting your shot takes motivation to take a chance, no matter if you fail or not. And I couldn't help but think about Queen Esther when I was thinking about this moment. And so we're going to talk about her a little bit, but I want to catch us all up getting to chapter 4, just so that we're all on the same page. So I'm going to summarize very briefly up until the point where we're going to talk about tonight. So we have King Xerxes, right? He was having a party. He basically wanted to show off his wife at this party, the queen. So he summoned the queen, Queen Vashti, in to show her off. But the queen refused to come. She was having her own party. And she's like, I'm not going to his party. I'm having my own party. Well, this the king did not like. So the king throws her out. So that means there's no queen. So the king says, okay, now I need a new queen, right? So there was a decree set out that inviting all the single ladies, that's all I can think of, to come into the kingdom. And from these single ladies, the king would find favor in one of these girls, and they would be the new queen. Well, among these girls was Esther. And so she found favor in the king's eyes, and so she's now the queen. Meanwhile, her cousin Mordecai worked at the king's gates. And she was adopted by Mordecai because Esther's mom and dad actually passed away. And so now she didn't have any parents. And so now Mordecai was her caregiver, her person. And so he's outside the king's gates and he's overhearing conversations. And one of the conversations was, throughout all of this, again, you'll have to read it, but we're just going to get to the point. One of the conversations was, Haman, a guy that did not like Mordecai, found out that he was Jewish. Now, Esther had hidden her Jewish hereditary from the king because she didn't want anything to happen to her, right? And so no one knows she's Jewish. Haman did not like Mordecai, and so he said, let's kill off this nationality, okay? And so there's now this decree to kill all the Jews in the kingdom. And so Mordecai, this is where we're picking up the story, Mordecai sent word to Esther that this was happening. And this is what is said in Esther chapter 4, verses 9 through 17. Hathach went back and reported to Esther what Mordecai had said. Then she instructed him to say to Mordecai, all the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that they be put to death unless the king extends the gold scepter to them and spares their lives. But 30 days have passed since I was called into the king. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent this back as an answer. He said to her, do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai, go and gather all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night and day, and I and my attendees will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions. So we think about this passage of scripture, and how can this story, how can this passage help us shoot that shot? Well, I have four things tonight. The first one, start with a plan. You see, Esther didn't just wait on it. She didn't take time to process the information given to her at the moment. Once she sensed the urgency that my people are going to die, I need to do something about it, she went to work and she created a plan. She said, listen, I need you, Mordecai, to go tell everyone to fast and pray. I'm going to do the same. And when this is done, then I'll go into the king. She didn't moan and drown in her sorrows and say, I'm just going to die. Leave me alone. Let me die alone. She didn't wish it gone. She didn't hear the news and say, man, I wish this would go away and then never do anything about it. She came up with a plan. Proverbs 21:5 says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance. But everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. She counted the cost. In Luke 14:28, it says, but don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? She had people praying and fasting. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. You see, a goal without a plan is just a wish. We need to stop talking about it and start planning for it. Just a little story on my own. I've said for a few years now that I want to become a Zumba instructor. I just think it's cool. I have something that I thought about. And when God laid this on my heart, I was like, I got to do it. I got to come up with a plan, right? And so as soon as Shoot That Shot and God started downloading some stuff, I went online, I signed up, and this Saturday, your girl, at the end of the day, will be a certified Zumba instructor. So, hey, so come Zumba with me. But we have to stop wishing for it, right? We have to start planning for it. I love what Joyce Meyer says. She says, if we will do what we can do, then God will do what we cannot do. What are we doing? What are we planning? Esther had the result in mind, and she began to plan and put it into action. And I preface all this to make sure that you are planning for something that God wants in your life, not just you. Make sure your plans line up with what God's plans are. Make it a God plan, not just a you plan. So what's your plan? Yes, God's purpose will prevail, but start somewhere. Start with a plan. If you will do what you can do, God will do what you can't do. Number two, we have to find the courage. She goes in and she says, listen, they put to death anybody who enters into the inner courts without being summoned. And she knows this. Can we just think about this for a moment? She literally could have been put to death for entering into her husband's presence, really, if you think about it, because he didn't summon her. But she knew in her heart that someone had to be that person. Someone had to do something about this decree, and that someone was her. She mustered up enough courage to face her fears and do what was right. Do you think she was scared? I do. She's human. Do you think she had to face some negative thoughts in her mind? She went into a place that could have killed her, could have destroyed her and her people. But she shot the shot. She was brave, she was courageous, and she found strength deep within her. Her such a time as this moment had arrived. She had raw courage in the face of death. She didn't bow down to evil. She trusted God even when everything looked hopeless. And then she says in verse 16, I will go. Even though it's against the law, I will go in and to see the king. And one version says, if I must die, I must die. Where does someone find that type of courage? That's courage to say, if I must die, then I'll die, but I'm going to go. Honestly, I think Esther was stepping out in faith in that moment, despite her fears. She was trusting in God and praying to him. And even though we never see the name of God mentioned in Esther's book, we can see his presence all throughout it. In Isaiah 41:10, it says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. The Lord goes with you. We have to step out in faith. We have to find that courage inside. We have to be strong and courageous. God will give us the strength. Courage doesn't come from us. It comes from God. Greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. That's where your courage is going to come from. So find that courage deep within from him to do what you are called to do. So number one, start with a plan. Number two, find the courage. Number three, failure isn't final. Hear me out on this. Esther was an orphan. Her parents died, and her cousin had to take her into custody. She was made queen without any consent. They just basically said, you're the queen. She didn't say, ooh, pick me. She was just made queen. It was decided for her. She had every right to think, you know, I'm just a girl with no parents. My life has been chosen for me. And who am I that anything good could happen to me or through me? But she didn't. She didn't allow her past to affect her present or her future. She had a different perspective of what she was facing. Philippians 3:13 through 14 says, brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining towards what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. She didn't let her past, how she was raised, what circumstances were happening in her life, affect what she was about to do. Stephen Furtick says it this way: your perspective will either become your prison or your passport. What is it going to be? What's your perspective? Are you living in past failures? Oh, I've tried that before and it just didn't work out. And every time I try to step out, I just end up falling flat on the ground. Have we said that before? Are we living in past roadblocks? Are we saying, man, every time I try, there's just something just seems to be stopping me? But listen, failure isn't final. Because here's the thing. Most of us aren't afraid of shooting. What are we? We're actually afraid of missing. Growing up, I used to love to play basketball. I'm not good. Trust me, I'm not good. I did not go out for the team. But I loved just to be in my yard. My dad put up a basketball hoop and play me around the world, give me pig, horse, whatever. You know, I love doing that. And when I was playing, I wasn't afraid of shooting. I loved to shoot, right? I was afraid that as soon as I shot, that I was going to miss. And I was going to lose the game of pig. Because most of us, we're not afraid of shooting. We're afraid of that failure. We're afraid of missing. And we may have every right to be. We may have past hurts and frustrations. And it's not that we're afraid of shooting, we're afraid of falling. But a missed shot isn't a lost gain. Because every time you shoot that shot, you're learning, you're growing, you're learning how to get closer to the basket, you're learning the form of how to do it. So every time you go after it, you're learning something to go for it in the future. I've always heard this quote. You miss 100% of the shots you never take, right? How are you going to know if you make it if you never even try? You miss 100% of the shots you never take. So what's stopping you from stepping out in faith? Esther gained perspective on her situation and found her strength in God. She knew she had to take the shot even if she perished. How long are we going to sit on our dreams? How long are we about to do something? Shoot your shot, whether you miss or not. You never know when you're going to get that opportunity again. I heard this past week that time is given and chances are taken. Are you stepping out in faith? Are you taking that chance that God is asking you to do? Because it doesn't matter if you failed in the past. You're learning, you're growing, and now is the time. Failure isn't final. And the last thing, we are to walk in Godfidence. I love that word. I can almost feel and sense it as Esther walks into the throne room, right? Her shoulders back, she's looking good, she's smelling good, because when you look good and smell good, you feel good. And she's confident in who she was. I can guarantee you she wasn't walking in like this. Excuse me. You know, I'd be like, get out, what are you doing? No. She was confident. She had to be. Sometimes it's not even about what other people say about you or even what God says about you. It's about what you believe what God says about you. God says you're the head and not the tail. Do you believe it? God says you're the apple of his eye. Do you believe it? God says he has a future and a hope and a plan for you. Do you believe it? God says you're called with a purpose. Do you believe it? Because you can have a million people tell you how great you are. God can tell you all day long that he has a purpose for you. He can tell you all day long that you're called. He can tell you all day long to move forward. But until you believe it, they seem like merely words. You have to find that confidence, that Godfidence.
The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me, They stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. I've got a promise. Turning back is not an option. There's a calling on my life, and I'm not about to drop it. I got this. For this I was chosen. The final word over me was spoken before I was born. I have a purpose that goes far beyond what I want, what I feel, what I see, and what they say cannot be. With God, all things are possible. And when my desire aligns with the divine, I am unstoppable. In this, I will be confident. Of course the climb is hard. I'm not surprised. The dream is difficult by design to make sure I rely on His might, not mine. His plan, not mine. His hand, not mine. My assignment was conceived in His heart, His mind. And the blessing ahead will always be greater than the battle behind. So this is not the time to compromise or entertain a thousand lies and a million reasons why I can't, or it won't, or it's not, or I'll never. I've heard it before, so shut up, devil. God didn't say He'd make it easy. He said He'd make me better, make me strong, and give me grace to carry on. No matter what the opposition, I only need one weapon. I have the faith to overcome. In this I will be confident. I'm too close to quit, and the stakes are too great for me to hesitate. So whatever it costs, whatever it takes, I'll keep coming. I show up, take the shot with my hands shaking. The fear is real, but it won't break me. God will not fail me, nor forsake me. I'll keep coming. I'll step to the battle like it's already won. Like I got the enemy on the run. I speak and believe like it's already done. In this, I will be confident. He made me a promise. He gave me a calling. I know that He's able to keep me from falling. I focus my hope. My excuses are gone. The moment to prove the power of God has come. He made me a promise. He gave me a calling. I know that He's able to keep me from falling. I focus my hope. The past is gone. The moment to prove the power of God has come. In this, I will be confident. The odds are long, the haters are loud, the pressure is on. But devil, you messed with the wrong one. I got my sling, I got my stone, and in the name of my God, I will overcome. In this, I will be confident.
I don't know how you can watch something like that and not feel like you are ready to go. He says, devil, you messed with the wrong one. Some of us need to just say, devil, you messed with the wrong one. He made me a promise. He gave me a calling. I know God is able to keep me from falling. You will overcome. You can be confident because, again, greater is He who is in you than he that is in the world. And you need to step up. The time is now. We need to stop waiting on it. We need to step out and take the risk. Begin to walk in the confidence that is in you, that He gave you. Have that confidence, knowing that you can't, but He can. He uses His people to create change. He uses His people to build the kingdom. Allow God to use you. Allow God to use your gifts. Stop saying that I can't do it. I have nothing to offer. Yes, you do. He just wants to use you. Start believing that He does. Just go for it. Some of you just need to go for it. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Take the risk, girl. Take it. Just go. Come on. Some of us need to start looking at the devil in the eye and say, you're not messing with me this time. I'm going for it. I'm going for it. I need to take the risk, and I need to have some faith and step out in that confidence. Shoot that shot. Someone say, I'm going to shoot that shot. Get a plan, find the courage, failure isn't final, and have that confidence. Will you stand tonight? Let's pray. If that's what you want, just go ahead, raise both hands to God tonight. God, I thank you. I thank you for putting in each and every one of us a gift and a calling. I pray that we'll stop sitting on our dreams. I pray for new dreams tonight. I pray for a new vision tonight. And I pray that, God, we're not going to be afraid to step out. We're not going to be afraid to take that risk. We're not going to be afraid to have faith because our faith is in you. We know that you give us the courage, God, to do what you have called us to do. God, help us to take that shot. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'll stand before you now in the greatness of your sound. I have heard of the majesty and wonder of you, King of heaven. I bow as your love wave after wave crashes over me, crashes over me. For you are for us, you are not against us. Champion of heaven, you made a way for all to enter in. You made me brave, you made me brave. No fear can hinder now the love that made a way. Call me out beyond the shore into waves. You made me brave. You made me brave. No fear can hinder now the love that made a way.
These words. You are for us. You are not against us. Champion of heaven, you made a way for all to enter in. Come on, give the Lord a praise tonight. Great word tonight. Weren't you encouraged tonight? Let's pray before we go. Father, thank you tonight that we walk by faith and not by sight. We thank you for faith risks. We thank you for the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Let us walk by faith, Lord. Thank you for your great direction. Thank you for your mind in things. Thank you for the mind of Christ in things that faith brings, thoughts and concepts and ideas that you send through your Holy Spirit. We believe you tonight for it. We believe you for fresh dreams and visions. And we'll give you the praise for them. In Jesus' name. Come on, say amen tonight. Amen. Thank you so much for being here tonight. God bless you so much. This Sunday, 8:30, 10 a.m., and 12 noon at St. Anthony's, we're going to have a great time. God bless you.